From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. I'm Abby Maloney. I'm joined today by Andrew Saporito, the Executive Director and CEO for the South Jersey Port Corporation. Andy, how are you doing today?
Good, Abby, thanks.
So we're going to be talking about how this pandemic has shaped us into a new economy, this new norm, new business strategies, new operations that will continue into the future. But before we go there, I wanted to start by asking you, what are some personal norms that you started during the pandemic that you see yourself carrying into this post-pandemic world, whether it's new interests or hobbies or ways of operating technologies, anything at all?
Well, one of the things I've really excelled at learning how to do is do a virtual meeting. And also teach a lot of people how to sign into a virtual meeting. It's really, new technology for a lot of folks. And, even after using it for, I would say, almost a year and a half now, I'm still teaching and educating people how to unmute. That's my favorite thing, and how to mute. With so many people working at home, with dogs barking, babies crying, you pick up all that background. So it's been interesting, but it's also leads to a good chuckle every now and then when you're trying to have a serious meeting and you want to tone it down a little bit.
Exactly, we've all found our inner IT person.
Exactly.
Yeah, supply chain disruptions have been amongst the greatest challenges that have been brought on by the pandemic. From your perspective, what needs to be done from both an operational standpoint as well as the federal level to help address these issues as quickly as possible?
Supply chain, breakdowns or issues are really nothing new. You can take it back to 2001 after 9/11, or labor difficulties, or even a Hurricane Sandy, which I've all, lived through. And what you find is everybody rebounds at some point in time. This is more a worldwide issue. So even as you try to solve it domestically, as the pandemic spreads around, you still, faced with plant closures. As far as the container industry, which we're not, involved with, and your supply chain, everything's on the wrong side of the globe. So everybody's going to work their way through it. And, hopefully, as it straightens out, the pricing comes down, which is one of the real issues today, and which is the reason why, even at the Port of Camden, at our two terminals, we're doing very well because a lot of cargo that had traditionally been shipped containers has come back to break bulk. Mm. So, we're finding ourselves in a position where we don't have enough room right now to handle all the demands that are being put on us. So it's not just the major ports in the country, it's the smaller ports that find themselves in a situation where, in the middle of summer, you're out of space, which in the case of South Jersey ports, always wasn't the situation.
Other shifting situation is manufacturing, and it's the COVID situation has really given manufacturers the pause to think about reshoring some of their operations. To what extent do you believe we'll see a legitimate surge of U.S.-based manufacturing as a result?
I don't think you're going to see that great of a surge, and the reason why is labor supply. Even now, everybody's having a hard time finding employees to fill slots. And you see it all throughout the logistics chain. As I speak to different companies and different people, they can't hire people. So, the real question is, if you can't, staff a plant with employees, why are you going to bring it here? And that's a real issue that has to be dealt with.
New Jersey's offshore wind industry is poised to usher in economic investment opportunities for the state as a whole, but specifically for South Jersey. How do you see continued growth of the state's green economy reshaping economic development plans and opportunities moving forward?
I think, you know, New Jersey has been at the forefront. And you have to remember, all this planning happened 10, 15 years ago. So, you know, New Jersey was, you know, building, you know, a quote unquote port facility down in Paulsboro, New Jersey, and even before the agreements were put out for the offshore wind. And that's what kind of put us, you know, in the forefront, because we have shovel ready facilities, you know, ready for the companies to come in and establish the manufacturing plants. And we toured the beginning of the EEW plant down in Paulsboro last week with the CEO, and, you know, the concrete slab for the first building has been poured, the steel is going up, and that building will be, you know, basically put together by the end of the year. We're way ahead of everybody. And with the addition of the wind port down in Salem County, and what we'd like to do with the Port of Salem, we have available property now, and we're ready. And it's going to continue for a fairly good period of time. So very positive with New Jersey and where we're headed.
The shipping and cargo sector has had to adapt to not only the ripple effects of the pandemic, but also adopt new technologies. In the new economy, how can digital tools help shape the future of the marine and logistics sectors?
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about Zoom and just the virtual meetings. And, you know, we hold a lot of customer meetings now, you know, using, you know, Zoom or Teams or some other platform, number one, to introduce ourselves to customers, but also to work with our existing customers on how we're performing. So we basically, you know, have performance meetings on a monthly basis with some of our customers, you know, using these platforms now, which is something that was never done before. I mean, it may have been a conference call, but that was it. So it really gets everybody engaged, and I guess they really can look at the metrics a lot better, you know, when it's up on the screen. So that's helped. And right now we're also looking at a new terminal operating system. Because, you know, one of the things we really need to track is inventory, and we want to be able to share that with our customers more on time than just generating a monthly report, so that everybody's on track as to how the cargo is moving and make sure it's fluid. Because, you know, as I said earlier, space is important. So, you know, we're really trying on and to introduce more.
And now that we find ourselves in this new economy, this new landscape, what's next for South Jersey Port Corporation?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is what we're going to call Port Vision 2030, okay, which is an overall master plan of our port facilities, kind of align us better strategically for the future. You know, one of the things that we're learning is that, you know, we need more space, and we need different types of space. We need outdoor space, indoor space. We also need the right equipment to be able to deliver the type of service that our customers look for. So hopefully, you know, with this study that we'll probably start sometime in the first quarter of next year, it'll be a roadmap for the port, and, you know, it'll be the tool that we use to guide us as we move forward.
Great. Well, thank you again. That's Andrew Saporito, the Executive Director and CEO for South Jersey Port Corporation. My name is Abby Malone. Thank you again, Andy.
You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.